like I said in the 50s, when nature struck back, it mostly had to do with, atomic experiments and atomic bombs, because that was at the time when the atomic bomb was for real. Well, it's still for real, but was being tested, and everybody was freaking out in the 50s, and you had to do duck and cover in school and all that stuff. And so there became this huge genre of the giant monster, of the giant animal movies. You know, radiation did terrible things. So you had a movie like Them, which came out in 1954, which is James Arness is in it, and it's about giant ants that destroy everything, and then giant ants. And then there was the one that was that took place here. I'm blanking on the name. It's Giant Grasshoppers. Giant grasshoppers actually climb and climb on this building across the street at the Wrigley Building. So there's giant grasshoppers, and I can't remember the name. It's like End of the World or something like that.
Beginning of the End.
Then again, Beginning of the End. That's it. The Beginning of the End, where giant grasshoppers take over the earth and destroy Chicago. Which is really funny, because there's a movie right now that's about a giant ape, an oversized ape, a giant alligator, and a giant wolf, flying wolf, that destroy pretty much the entire loop. They just put it with The Rock. So it's like Dwayne Johnson, three giant monsters destroying the loop. I mean, they do some... Esmeralda, the last 20 minutes of Rampage is it all of Chicago being destroyed. It's like all of downtown Chicago just being completely destroyed. And it's pretty cool. It's like, I saw it in IMAX and I was like, all right, this is pretty cool. But it was really funny because obviously, you know, I saw it with a bunch of people who are from Chicago or who live in Chicago. And... there were two or three times when they went, we have to evacuate all of Chicago right now. And we're all like, shut up. What are you the hell are you talking about?
That's just the downtown. We're fine up in the north side.
Yeah, exactly. We have to evacuate everybody in Chicago right now. Time's running out. All of Chicago has to be evacuated. It's like, what are you talking about? But they destroy the hell out of the city. I mean, it's ridiculous. All right, so Jaws is sort of that second wave of when nature attacks movies. Jaws kind of started it, and Jaws is a very cool movie. It's a very scary movie, and the shark is awesome in it. And it pretty much when I saw Jaws, I was 10, and I became obsessed with sharks. And you could buy shark magazines and shark books, anything with a shark on it sold. And, you know, publishers took advantage of that big time, especially on kids like me who was 10. And a picture of a shark or a shark bite, I particularly like, wow, look at that guy, got his leg bit off by a shark. This is cool. And so as a result of Jaws being so big, you had stuff like Piranha, which is actually a good movie. Piranha is actually a really good movie. And you had Tentacles, which we've talked about on the show before. Tentacles about, of course, the killer octopus. And remember, Esmeralda, I made you look up the poster, and I was like, that would look like that would be you in the poster. Remember you? Because it's a woman screaming and giant tentacles wrapping around her.
Oh, God. Yeah. No, I don't remember that.
You don't remember that? Look up the movie Tentacles. Poster, just like Tentacles movie poster. I thought we talked about this before. Like, I was like, because we were discussing the movie. I was discussing the movie a little bit, and you were like, oh my God. And I'm like, yeah, that would be you in the poster.
Thank you.
So Jaws really opened it up, man. And then, as I mentioned before, there was Day of the Animals, where a shirtless Leslie Nielsen wrestles with a grizzly bear. And that's considered one of the 70s When Nature Strikes Back classics, because it's so terrible. And I saw it like 3 or 4 times in the theater. Then there was Grizzly, which was specifically grizzly bears. And I believe also William Girdler directed that one, too. This guy, William Girdler, was a Z-grade filmmaker who I think did 5 or 6 of these animal killer movies. No, killer animal movies, not animal. It's the opposite of killer animal movies. And Grizzly, one of my favorite stories, and I've told this before, Dan, you know this story. My friend Scott Oaken was at a summer camp And so they had movie night one night, and they were in the middle of the woods, like in the middle of nowhere. No, you know, nothing around. You know, just dark woods and animals. And they were in the, their cabins were in the middle of nowhere. And so they set up this screen with a bunch of chairs outside to show the movie outside. So they had movie night outside. And the camp counselors decided that they were going to show these 10-year-old kids Grizzly. And then have them walk back to their cabin after the movie. Scott said he was traumatized. It was like the longest walk ever. He thought for sure he was going to be completely mutilated by a giant grizzly bear. And you know the camp counselors were like, ha, 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 ha. They were back at their cabin drinking Schlitz and laughing because they just traumatized a bunch of kids by showing them Grizzly. I wonder if that ever got back to the parents. I never asked Scott if his parents found out. Did you have a good time at summer camp? No, they showed us Grizzly in the middle of the night. Oh, man. Okay, so there's a lot more of them. If you want to jump in, When Nature Attacks, When Animals Kill, it's a great subgenre and pretty much inspired, in the 70s at least, by the success of Jaws. So we're going to talk about... And then, of course, there's a lot of shark movies out there. We can talk about Deep Blue Sea, which is a movie that I love. And, of course, the Sharknado. How many are there now? Four Sharknado movies, I think?
I think there's more than that.
Are there? Because I know they do Sharktopus. They have, like, other ones that aren't part of Sharknado. But, yeah, those sci-fi movies. Ridiculous. All right, let's break here. We got weather, we got traffic, and then after that we'll come back and talk more Nature Strikes Back animal films right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. And that's the Rolling Stones. Doug and Area 773 area code said they wanted to hear Torn and Frayed, so there it is. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. So I'm just looking up on the screen, and there's a story on the early Today Show about a guy who survived a shark attack and then was attacked by a bear. I'm not making this up. I'm not. It's on Channel 5 right now. The guy was attacked.
Was it one after the other?
I couldn't hear it, but the guy had his leg wrapped up, and it said on the bottom of the screen, it said survived shark attack and was attacked by a bear. How does that happen that we're
really
talking about?
He really needs to stop putting himself in situations.
Yeah.
Because it's not like I'm walking down the street and there's a bear left and right.
I mean.
You have to go to the bears and to the sharks.
Like Leslie Nielsen did when he went shirtless after that bear. That's crazy that was just on TV, and we're talking about When Animals Attack movies, because we're going to have a shark expert coming on to tell us the real deal a little bit later on, after the 4:30 news. So some of the other ones that came out, there was one that came out before Jaws in 1972. I remember seeing this movie at the drive-in, and it's called Frogs. And Ray Milland is in it, and he plays a jerk industrialist guy who owns a bunch of factories that are dumping poison into the waters and kill, and screwing up nature, and he doesn't care. He's got belching smoke into the sky. He's a big corporate dude, rich guy, lives in, you know, this mansion, and everything that he does is screwing up the environment. This movie came out in 1972. And it's got, get this, Esmeralda, it's got Sam Elliott sans mustache.
Another one?
Yeah. Sam Elliott sans mustache. And so a whole bunch of people go to Ray Milland's. He's got like a family get-together at his mansion in the middle of like the, you know, I think it takes place in Florida, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And so like a whole bunch of people show up, and then one by one they're knocked off by different animals, and they're all psychically led by the frogs.
The animals are.
Yes. So like the frogs tell the spiders to kill this guy. And I can't remember what some of the other people get killed by. They're snakes.
I did not think that the frogs would be the ultimate beings.
And it is a ridiculous movie. It is a terrible, but the poster's fantastic. Esmeralda, look up Frogs movie poster. Magnolia might pop up, I'm not sure, but it's not the same thing. Frogs.
Oh, with the hands?
Yeah, sticking out of the frog's mouth.
Well, so how does that work?
It doesn't, because they're regular sized frogs, so that the poster is a lie.
Oh, there's another one.
Yeah.
Where they got pictures of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's someone just covered in frogs.
Well, she's
screaming.
The frogs keep coming out, and then they're like communicating with one another. And at one point, there are thousands of frogs on this guy's land. And the frogs end up killing Ray Milland. And I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, I'd be real grossed out about that.
I'm trying to remember what the other animals were. But it was the frogs that were commanding the other animals to strike back against this guy killing the environment.
Yeah. I do like this. Today, the pond. Tomorrow, the world.
That's right, man. Frogs!
I didn't know. I didn't take frogs that seriously.
Yeah. No, you got them, man. You have to. It's funny because, you know, I remember, like, going, I was excited about it when the movie came out. We went to the drive-in. And my dad still brings it up now. The movie's from 1972. And my dad's like, hey, why don't you show frogs at your film club? I'm like, I'm not going to show frogs at my film club.
Why not?
It's ridiculous.
Now, there's the DVD for it.
Uh-huh.
And it's a double feature.
Frogs and what?
The Food of the Gods.
Oh, man, classic. Food of the Gods.
Is that an animal one?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Giant animals, though.
Oh.
See, here's another environmental thing. There's another factory that's leaking a bunch of crap into a stream, which goes into a lake. And the animals start eating from that, and then they grow huge and start... basically, the big climax is giant rats climbing on houses. Like rats
the size... Yeah. Just
it's
rats?
Giant rats. There's a scene with two giant chickens... Like a guy walks into a hen house and gets...
Yeah, I'm watching the trailer.
Gets pecked to death.
Oh, they're real pretty chickens, too.
Yeah. But it's mostly rats. Like the last 15 minutes of the movie is Marjo...
Oh, no. Marjo it's like Gardner. Flooded.
Yeah.
And then there's just rats swimming.
And then it's guys shooting rats with guns.
Yeah.
That's the whole... And by the way, lots of rats were actually killed during the making of that movie.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they were. Because back in the 70s, you know, they just would, like, just kill the rat. They would kill the rat, and then because they would blow the rat up. I mean visually, they would make the rat bigger, so they would have.
Oh, okay.
They would take a regular rat. They would film it, and then they would do a mat thing and make it look like it was giant, so it was climbing on top of a house.
Yeah,
and then they'd actually kill the rat. So you're seeing that's a snuff movie.
I'm also a little weirded out by where the placement of the rat's paw on the cover. So
it's over
woman.
A woman's breast, right?
Right. It's
yeah.
Like right.
Yeah. Yeah.
There.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite movie posters. When I was a kid, it was one of my favorite movie posters. So that's a double feature on the DVD. You get frogs and Food of the Gods.
Yes.
Oh, that's a bargain. That's fantastic.
For 1997.
Oh man, that's a
it's on
that
sale.
Is, let me tell you something. That's a bargain. Order it up, Esmeralda. It's Blu-ray. Before it sells out, you better order it right now.
I mean, as we're talking about it.
Yeah.
Oh,
man. It's
going to
spike right now. I'm telling you right now. People are going, wait, Food of the Gods and frogs on Blu-ray? Honey, get the credit card. It's 4 a.m. We can't pass up frogs and Food of the Gods.
Which is when you order these things.
That's exactly when you order it. And yeah, exactly. Here's Glenn on WGN. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
All right.
That gentleman that got bitten by the shark and the bear.
Yeah.
Different occasions. He was also bitten by a snake.
Come on, man.
Yeah, 3 different occasions.
This yeah, guy needs to stay in the city.
Either really lucky or really unlucky.
Wait a second.
Movies.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Glenn.
Squirm.
Oh, yeah, worms. Deadly worms, Esmeralda.
Yeah,
Squirm is about what happens is there's an electrical storm, and a horrible storm, and lightning strikes this thing and it electrocutes the ground. So when the worms come out, they have special superpowers that can and they can burrow under your skin and kill you.
Oh, okay. Well, I was gonna say you can get red worms and they eat, although they don't eat meat.
This is
they just eat vegetables.
Yeah, correct. These are like electrically charged worms. That can burn. There's a scene in the movie where a bunch of worms are burrowing under this guy's face, and you can see the worms in his face sticking out of the bottom.
Great.
It's awesome.
From my understanding, those worms really exist, but under normal circumstances, they wouldn't do something like that.
They wouldn't burrow under your skin and hang out of your face? No.
I hope not.
I mean, what's the kind that get ringworms?
Oh, ringworms, yeah.
Ringworm.
My wife told me a story the first time she watched that movie. Her and her first husband were getting ready to eat spaghetti, and that movie came on. And she says, that killed her supper right
there. That's it right there. All right. Glenn, thanks, man.
All right, you're welcome.
Okay, we have the news coming up in a couple of seconds, but after the news, Esmeralda, the guy's name is Dylan McWilliams. He survived a rattlesnake bite, a terrifying bear attack, and now the 20-year-old adventure seeker has yet another death-defying story to tell.
Oh, well, he's an adventure seeker.
That's right. The Grand Junction, Colorado native was boogie boarding in the Kauai waters on vacation in Hawaii last Thursday. He encountered what he believes to be as at least a 6-foot tiger shark. Something hit my leg, and I started to look, and I saw blood. I saw the shark underneath me, and I started to kick for it. I started to kick at it, swimming for shore as far as I could. It was scary.
Why are you going to kick at it? No.
So anyway, this guy asking for it, Esmeralda. Come on.
I'm telling you, shark. It's not like sharks just show up out of nowhere in your bathtub. Yeah.
And by the way, that is exactly what one of the lines is from David Diley's article about shark attacks. Shark attacks don't just happen. They don't just show up.
It's like, you got to go to them.
That's right. That's exactly right.
You're in their house.
All right. So anyway, he's an adventure seeker, everybody. Moron. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. News is up after this. Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio right here on Michigan Avenue. I'm your overnight dude, 2 to 5 a.m. We're here till 5. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 coming up, and then the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Make sure you stay tuned for Steve Cochran. And it's 2 for Tuesday. You made it 2 for Tuesday. 224 area code requesting Schoolhouse Rock with... we have Bob Duro passed away. He was one of the show's writers and performers who wrote some of the songs and sang some of them. He passed away yesterday. That was Conjunction Junction with Schoolhouse Rock from Schoolhouse Rock. So we have another Schoolhouse Rock song coming up a little bit later on. Hello! Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. After the 4:30 news, we'll be joined by David Diley, who is an award-winning filmmaker, a shark expert, underwater cinematographer. He made the film Of Shark and Man, quit his job in order to spend time with sharks and learn more about them and swim with them and have classes where he teaches people how to photograph underwater. And he's got many, many adventures with sharks to talk about, and we'll talk about his movie Of Shark and Man. And that got me to thinking about ridiculous shark movies that make people really terrified of sharks. Maybe they shouldn't be. Stuff like Sharknado and Shark versus Octopus or Sharktopus. It's ridiculous. So that got us to think about movies there where nature strikes back. Now, Esmeralda, are you familiar with Night of the Lepus?
Yes.
Yeah.
It seems like the fluffiest.
It's the
of all the murdering.
Yeah.
But on the murdering giant, animals.
Giant rabbits running around in slow motion.
I mean, I could imagine they would be deadly because of their claws.
Yeah.
And their teeth.
Yeah, they crush cars and stuff in the movie. Janet Leigh is in it. It's another one I remember seeing in the theater in the 70s when it came out. Again, same year as Frogs. How come that's not a double feature? With Frogs instead of Food of the Gods. Food of the Gods is ridiculous. Oh, I forgot about that. And also in Food of the Gods, giant wasps. So that's another one. That's another one right there. How about Empire of the Ants? Empire of the Ants was giant ants, I think. I think they were giant ants, or maybe, no, yeah, they were giant ants, but or maybe they were regular-sized ants. No, because that was the movie Ants that were regular-sized ants.
Oh, that sounds even worse.
Ants was just on Svengoolie a few weeks ago. Suzanne Summers gets killed by ants.
Ugh, that I couldn't deal with.
She's, like, covered in them.
Ugh.
And then, no?
No, thank you. I could deal with giant ants.
Oh, you would rather deal with giant ants than regular-sized ants?
Regular? Could you? I mean, think about it. Oh, you'd fill a room? Oof.
A ton of ants.
Ugh, too much.
Okay. All right.
I have this kind of fear of just when there's too many animals.
Yeah.
Of one kind of animal just hanging around, it's like something bad's going to happen.
Yeah. See, that's to me is the, you know, that's to me is the appeal of zombies, because there's just too many of them.
Right. You could deal with one.
Yeah. But there's just, but there's always a bunch. There's always a lot of zombies around. And everybody's like, well, just run. They don't, they can't walk. They can't run.
They're everywhere.
But they're exactly right. There's too many of them.
Ugh.
And then this whole, like, let's make zombies fast. I'm old school on my zombies. I want my zombies slow. I want them rickety, and I want them slow.
Have they done a animal one with cockroaches?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if there was a whole movie with roaches, but Creepshow, the final story in Creepshow, is this jerk played by E.G. Marshall, rich guy who is a clean freak. He lives in this spotless high rise, and he is also very, very rich. He's fired a bunch of people. He's ruined a bunch of lives. And he's a selfish jerk. And all of a sudden, his pristine, very white apartment becomes infested with cockroaches.
Gross.
Like, tons of them. And at the end, they split, his chest splits open, and they all come running out of his chest. Like, they were inside his body. And it's fantastic. And George Romero directed that movie, speaking of zombies. And it was a quite interesting story, Esmeralda. I think you're going to love this. They imported roaches from around the world for that movie. So they had, like, big ones, small ones, ones that were from different countries that could fly.
Oh, that's the worst.
So they had, there were thousands and thousands of roaches from around the world, and they kept them alive and fed them and stuff in order to keep them around for the movie. And Tom Savini, famous makeup artist who has done, you know, he did all the quality makeup and kills for the Friday the 13th movies. He worked on the zombie movies with Romero. Legendary makeup and gore artist. He designed this body cavity that was supposed to look like E.G. Marshall. So it was rubber and it was supposed to burst, and then all the roaches would rush out. Like, thousands of roaches would rush out of his mouth and out of his chest. And so he had three guys underneath. It was the body itself was on like a stage, and he and three other guys were underneath the stage with the rubber body on top, ready to split it open, filling syringes with roaches, live roaches, and pushing them up into the rubber cavity.
No, thank you. I can't even deal with one cockroach.
And he's like, and they have these giant syringes, and they're stuffing roaches, you know, whereas they're alive, they're running around all over the place, and pushing the syringe up the roach to come out for the roaches to pop out of E.G. Marshall's fake chest. And that was the climax of the movie. So anyway, it was not fun. Savini tells stories about, like, they were all over. You know, they had to be hosed down after they were done underneath doing the effects. So here's an interesting story. Friend of mine, Allison Kane, from the Factory Theater, who was married to Manny Tamayo, my buddy from Joliet, my horror movie buddy. He's the one, by the way, that's the most romantic proposal. If you guys remember, I told you last week what he said. Pot to piss in and water and a window to throw it out of. That's them. Allison went to school at Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but all of George Romero's movies, 90% of George Romero's movies originated and were shot in Pittsburgh. He's a Pittsburgh native, very proud of it, shot so many of the zombie movies there. He shot Creepshow there. So he shot Creepshow there. And my friend Allison went to Carnegie Mellon and said that in the basement at Carnegie Mellon, there were a couple of workshops in the basement at Carnegie Mellon, and they were infested with roaches. And they would come in and go, what the hell? And this went on for years. And this, so the story is, Creepshow, the production, stored their roaches at Carnegie Mellon in the basement. And now, years later, this is when Allison went there, and Allison probably went there in the late 80s, so probably about 5-6 years after Creepshow, and they were still infested. Like, they still had a roach problem. They still had a roach problem, and it was George Romero's fault because they stored the exotic roaches in the basement at Carnegie Mellon. And I remember Allison saying, I was like, well, wait a minute, hold on a second. There were roaches from Creepshow? And she's like, yeah, they all just, it was infested. I said, were there weird-looking ones? And she's like, yeah, really big and weird. So, like, these exotic roaches, you know, they bred, and they... And so, like, people would come into Pittsburgh, into school in Pittsburgh, and go, what is that? And it was some roach from the Bahamas or something that they flew in, and it settled into Pittsburgh. So you've got these exotic roaches that just moved into Pittsburgh. Now, I don't know if they still, I'm sure they've probably cleared it up, because this was only five, six years after they made Creepshow. So maybe they've cleared it up since then. But there was a real serious roach infestment problem at Carnegie Mellon, and it's all because of George Romero and Creepshow.
You could give me a full ride scholarship the second I find out about that. Nope, I'm out. I'm running away. Goodbye.
It's one of my favorite stories. I totally forgot about that, but yeah. I would avoid the last story of Creepshow, Esmeralda. I would avoid it. Have you seen Vampire's Kiss with Nicolas Cage?
I haven't.
He eats a live cockroach in that movie. Mm. Like, he actually did it. He actually ate a... Nicolas Cage. He's nuts. And by the way, his performance in Vampire's Kiss is the best performance of his career, as far as I'm concerned. But it was his idea to eat the roach. He said, I want to do something crazy, and I want to eat a live cockroach. And it's him. I mean, you can see it's not a stunt. It's a real roach. It's moving around. He sticks it in his mouth, and he eats it. And it's disgusting. But the director didn't want to... The director and him were clashing at the time. They weren't getting along at the time, because Nicolas Cage would show up in character and act like an idiot. And, I mean, if you see this movie, it's a completely unhinged, insane performance. For example, he eats a live cockroach because he wanted to. But it's a great performance, and it's insane and completely over the top. And he was, like, in character and doing all kinds of weird stuff. And so the director, after they did the take where he eats the cockroach, the director said, oh, I didn't get it. We're going to have to do it again. And so they did a second take. And the director used the first take in the movie. He did it on purpose just to screw with Nicolas Cage. So Nicolas Cage had to eat two cockroaches. He's like, oh, you want to be a jerk? Okay, enjoy another cockroach. We're going to do take two on this. All right. Hey, more cockroach talk coming up. Good morning, everybody. Enjoy your breakfast. We're talking about when animals attack and nature strikes back. That's all we're talking about here. And then we're going to have a shark expert on after 4:30 to talk about the real stuff.
The body.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. One of the creators and performers and writers of the Schoolhouse Rock stuff, Bob Duro, passed away yesterday. So we got a twofer here. From the 224 area code, that's 3 is the magic number from Schoolhouse Rock. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We're talking about when nature goes nuts movies and animals attack. If you want to join us, call us up and send in your texts as well at 312-981-7200. And let's go to the phones. Here's Patrick on WGN. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Nick. How's it going?
All right.
The 3 is the magic number. I never knew that lyric was in there. The somewhere in the ancient trilogy, you get 3. I never knew that lyric was in there.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting. Almost a little spiritual there. That's kind of crazy. getting to the Sullen Dan, you know, you wondered if there was an actual full cockroach movie. There actually was, with Dean Stockwell, and it was called The Nest.
Oh, right.
He has a really gruesome death in that.
Yeah, that's right. I totally forgot about that movie. Yeah, it was another movie for Esmeralda to avoid.
And then remember Damnation Alley?
Damnation Alley, they had the scene with, like, a ton of giant cockroaches.
No, they weren't giant. The scorpions were the giant.
Oh, scorpions were giant, right. The roaches were regular sized, yeah.
But they were, like, I think they spit acid or something like that, because poor Paul Winfield got it.
He
opened up the sewer cap and they were all over him.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
And I mentioned to you a while back, as we talked this topic before, Kingdom of the Spiders.
Yeah, Kingdom of the Spiders with William Shatner. That's a classic.
Cool. To Woody Strode's wife, the actress, she's being backed into a corner in her bedroom, and she's shooting him with the .38, and the one's on her hand, and she shoots her hand, and they get her and kill her. But I remember telling Esmeralda this, the final scene would haunt her dreams, because even though it's as implausible as hell, it's still haunting as hell to wake up and look out the window and it webbed up the whole town.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole town is covered in web. Like, the entire house is webbed. Like, there's a giant web over the house and everything.
The whole
town, all the trees, buildings, everything has been covered in web. Yeah. And in that movie, as well, they're not giant spiders. They're regular sized
nope,
spiders.
Nope, I'm out.
So.
And they couldn't, for some reason, they used all the pesticides and killed their food source, so they just started attacking everything.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Kingdom of the Spiders. It's another one. It's another one Svengoolie shows every once in a while.
You know, you were talking about George Romero.
Yeah.
Interesting fact. Didn't his production company work for Mr. Rogers?
Oh yeah, no. That's how Romero got started. He got started working on Mr. Rogers' show.
That's right.
Yeah. And he actually used equipment when they were working on when he was working on Mr. Rogers' show. He borrowed equipment from the station where they were doing Mr. Rogers to work on Night of the Living Dead. So there's actual Mr. Rogers equipment responsible for stuff in Night of the Living Dead.
It's just amazing. There's so many amazing stories with that whole team and production. You know, how that Pittsburgh area, how tight-knit they were.
Yeah.
What they were able to accomplish.
Yeah, that's fantastic. All right, Patrick, thanks, buddy.
All right, thanks. Take care.
Take care, man. Yeah. I just love that, Esmeralda, that there is a connection between George Romero and Mr. Rogers. I love that he started out on Mr. Rogers.
George Romero was a very lovely man.
He was a lovely man. He was an absolutely lovely man. Here are some other animals attacking movies. As we've mentioned before, I love Cujo. I love that movie. And it's a Saint Bernard, and it's two people in a car and the Saint Bernard trying to kill him. The movie rules. I love that movie. And then, of course, the classic. Have you seen The Birds? The Alfred Hitchcock has one.
I have. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good movie and really scary. Some scary stuff off the set or on the set.
Oh, right.
The way he treated Tippi Hedren on that movie was ridiculous.
Yeah. Birds don't freak me out as much. Although lately I've been seeing them because they're nesting and all that.
Yeah.
So you see a lot of robins like standing around staring at you like, don't go for my nest. It's like, I'm just walking.
Yeah. I freaked out one time. I had a bird in my apartment and that freaked me out. Like I totally freaked out when that.
What kind of bird?
I don't even remember. It wasn't a pigeon. It was, I can't remember. But, I mean, and then I'm like, how the hell did it get in? And I look in my kitchen. This was when I lived in Andersonville. And you know how you got those windows that you can actually pull down and they open from the top?
Mm-hmm.
One of them was cracked open a little bit, and I didn't even know it. And it got in through there. So I didn't even know. All of a sudden, a bird comes flying over my head. I'm like, oh, my God, what the hell? So I grab a broom, and I open up the back door to the back porch, and I'm trying to direct it, and it finally went out. It was in the house for like 10 minutes. I couldn't get it out of the house. I was freaking out. That's freaky. A bird in the house is freaky. Not supposed to be. If I'm walking down the street and I see a bird, I'm like, all right, whatever. Flies a little close to my head. I'm not happy about it. But when it's in my damn apartment.
I don't mind them when I see them in warehouses and Costco's.
Oh,
they're nesting
I
up
see.
In the
oh,
corner.
Okay. All right. I was going to say, you visit big abandoned warehouses once in a while?
No, but not abandoned. They're just...
No, I know.
They get in somehow.
Yeah.
And then they just hang out.
You know what I saw on the way in the other night here, when we were walking in down the docks, because they're tearing the entire building apart and they're gutting out everything, and so they're dumping everything with dumpsters and all kinds of stuff in trucks. I saw a bat.
Ugh.
Yeah, I saw a bat flying underneath the...
Yeah, I don't do well with bats.
Yeah. So... there were a couple of bat movies where bats attacked. How about Arachnophobia? Have you seen Arachnophobia with Jeff Daniels and John Goodman?
Oh, I did a long time ago.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah. How about Anaconda?
I have not seen that.
You should see it. It's really stupid. But really fun. So. All right. When animals attack, well, we're going to find out about shark attacks for real. And more shark facts. David Diley is going to join us. He's an award-winning filmmaker. He made a movie called Of Shark and Man, and he has swam with the sharks. And we'll talk about that as well. But the news is coming up right after this.